morning, everyone. Happy February. The reason I say happy February is because you made it through January, which many people say is 31 days of Monday. Right? So congratulations. Also want to just congratulate everyone in the room who participated in the fast. Just want to shout out. Can we just shout out everyone? We don't know who those people are, but just high five your neighbor next to you. You made it through. Whether you did it perfectly is not the goal. It's engaging the process of the fast. And so how many of you know that the power of your voice matters? That there's power in testimony, that there's power in story, in your voice. Psalm 145 says that we will commend, that one generation will commend his deeds to the next. So it's important that we share. So I wanted to invite a couple of my dear friends up to the stage really quick. Susan, Catherine, and Greg, if you guys would make your way up here. Let's give them a hand, and they're going to just share just a little bit of what God has done through this fast this month. This is Susan.
Can't change my mind now, right?
No, you can't change your mind now. Come on up here. This takes a lot of courage to get up here and share. I'm so grateful for them. So, Susan.
Yes, good morning. I'd love to say that, you know, an angel appeared and all of a sudden all my problems went away. Definitely not the case. But for me, it was just another process of building more relationship with God. It's easy to say, God, you can trust me with this relationship, or you can trust me in this healing, or you can trust me in this promotion. But it's also for me saying, God, you can trust me in the discomfort as well, that you're more important than all of these things. And even in my hunger and in my heartbreak and in my exhaustion, God, you can trust me, and you're more important than all of these things that I desire.
Amen. Thank you, Susan. This is Greg Daly.
So in December, one of my employees resigned, and I needed to replace her position. And so I started looking for a new employee. Going into January, I ran into some obstacles in January, but it was on my heart to keep moving. So I continued forward, even though the obstacles in January did not go away. So I started fasting. Karen and my wife started praying. And I came to a place where I felt like I really needed to make a decision. I either needed to base the decision on what I was seeing in the numbers, seeing in the natural, or really go with what was on my spirit, what was on my heart, that God had been moving, there was momentum. I sought it out in Scripture. There was Scripture for both sides of it, and I really felt like if I was going to make a mistake, I was going to err on trusting the Lord. So I decided to hire the person, and the very next day, God brought breakthrough.
Awesome. Thank you, Greg. Catherine.
So trying to do this fast was not easy for me. I struggled this time to make fasting work. I felt overwhelmed by the idea, so I chose to lay it before the Lord. And he met me and reminded me that he honors our attempts to try. Even if we fail, he honors it. If we succeed, he honors it. And if we choose a different way that's different from others to fast, he is honored in that as well. I chose to utilize my prayer journal. I cried out to him with all my frustration, hurt, sadness, joy, and gratitude. And the Lord spoke to me and reminded me that he is my refuge and strength. And lastly, I was speaking to him, and he brought to mind that my anger was not serving me or anyone else, and I needed to be kind to myself and to take breaks and ask for help.
So encouraging. Thank you guys so much. Can you guys give it up for them? Really appreciate your story. Just want to take a moment and just pray for our friends and for everyone who participated. God, thank you so much that when we say yes to you, that even something that seems so foreign or so difficult or so impossible, that God, when we simply partner our yes with you, that God, you bring miracles. God, that you change our lives, God, and you, because you want to do above and beyond what we could hope for, dream for, imagine. So God, I just bless my friends that just shared this morning. And God, for everyone who has been a part of this fast, God, we thank you for what you have done, what you are doing now, and that what you will continue to do. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, as we wrap up our fast, I'm just going to share kind of a little brief reflection from my life. And for those of you that are kind of like, you know, when it comes, I'm going to share on fasting, is what I was trying to say. For those of you in the room that are like, I didn't fast. I didn't do it. I didn't even want to do it. That's okay. Not only are we going to celebrate, but we hope that through what God has done in this season, that it will be an invitation to us to begin to make fasting a lifestyle, to begin to let it change something inside of you, and that through this share this morning, maybe it'll just inspire you to consider saying yes to God and make this a lifestyle. So I've entitled my message this morning, An Ecological Study in the Practice of Fasting. In Psalm 29:2, I'll read here in a moment. This week, when I was when we were fasting, a friend of mine at a church close here in town, up at the Heights Church, was having they have some prayer engagements that go on during the week, and so I joined them on Wednesday. We've been partnering together in Alpha. And as he read this scripture, it just really spoke to me in the middle of the fast. In Psalm 29:2, it says, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness." And then verse 7 says, "The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh." And then verse 9, "The voice of the Lord twists the oak and strips the forest bare." When I think about the practice of fasting in my life, one of the things that it has done, more than anything else, it has clarified the Lord's voice for me. I don't know if you feel distracted as an American, but I feel distracted all the time. The noise, the options, the choices, the activity, the pace, in many ways, for me, has ravaged my soul, just living as an American in our culture. And one of the things that fasting has done, it helps silence the noise and hear the voice of the Lord in the way that this passage describes. But what really stood out to me in this passage this time is that last verse when it says, "The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and it strips the forest bare." That's what lightning does. It talks about lightning in this passage. And when I think of a forest that's been stripped bare, the only thing that comes to mind when I was like, what is David trying to say there? When a forest is stripped, I would imagine it's because a fire ravages through it. And we all are very aware of the fires that have taken place in Los Angeles. My son goes to school there. He's safe. But the devastation and the destruction that a fire brings is incomprehensible. And I've chosen to be a part of an effort just to participate in helping in those communities. Just something small, because I know if it happened to me, I would really want people to help. And so, but in thinking about this verse of fasting, of how fire really does bring destruction in the midst of then blessing that comes. So when I was reading, I kind of looked up, what are the effects of a fire in an ecological system? And I found this little passage from National Geographic, and I'm just going to read it to you. It says, "Ecosystems benefit from periodic fires because they clear out dead organic material. As dead or decaying plants begin to build on the ground, they may prevent organisms within the soil from accessing nutrients or block animals on the land from accessing the soil. This coating of dead organic matter can also choke outgrowth of newer or smaller plants. When humans perform a prescribed burn, The goal is to remove the layer of decay in a controlled manner, allowing the healthy parts of the ecosystem to thrive. Moreover, nutrients released from the burned material, which includes dead plants and animals, return more quickly into the soil than if they had to slowly decay over time. In this way, fire increases the soil's fertility. I know that in my life, fire has brought purification. And there's nothing that has brought that purification and welcoming the fire of His Spirit to remove things in my life than purification. You guys can put that first point up on the stage if you would, or on the screen if you would. This is what fasting does. It burns away the dead matter in our lives, the things that don't serve us, that hold us back, that keep us from the life that God intended. Isaiah 48:10 reads, "I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." And let's be honest, fasting is an affliction. How many of you just want to, like, fast on a regular day? I think I'll just go without lunch. I think I'll just skip my favorite dessert, my favorite place I love to go to, your coffee, your all the things. It's an affliction that you choose to put your body under. But when we fast, we willingly submit ourselves to the refinement of this affliction, and that brings purification, just like in this forest, plant forest fire. And that purification helps us see more clearly. In my life, I would say this has been the case, that when I fast, and sometimes it's not until after the fast, but I find myself as I shut out food and things, I choose usually to give up coffee and things that are like a real comfort for me because it helps me to constantly remember that He is my bread, the bread of life. And when I do this, I find at first it's super hard. I'm distracted. I'm just constantly thinking about the food I want to eat or the coffee that I want to drink. But over a period of days and time, I begin to like have this sense of clarification where I begin to see more clearly. Secondly, this purification that happens, fire brings purification, purification begins to bring clarity. When I think about like a water and a river that runs across a bunch of rocks, I grew up in Oregon where water was everywhere. I miss it so much. But I used to go down to the river a lot and just be on the river because the sound of it would just minister and bring strength to me. And when you think that it went from an ecological standpoint, as water is rushing through a riverbed, the rocks serve as an actual filter of purification. So if you think of your life and the rocks that are part of your life, as the water is welcomed, as the Holy Spirit is welcomed, this is what the Holy Spirit does, is He moves through the matter of our lives, and actually as it hits the rocks, that's actually what brings purification. And that muddiness begins to actually not only clear, but there's an actual physical purification that begins to have through as it moves through this process. When we fast, we make room and welcome more of the Lord into the rock beds of our lives. And as that water flows through, it filters itself and it clarifies. I've noticed that when I fast, I begin to see things more clearly. It brings insight, direction, a sense of focus. Studies show that fasting actually improves your eyesight. Did you know that? If you just look it up when you get home today, when you fast, your eyes actually begin to physically see more clearly when you fast. So clarity also brings focus. The clearer the water, we begin to see that the beauty of every rock that lies in this rock bed. This is our lives. There's so much beauty inside of every one of us that is waiting to be revealed as the water becomes more clear. Fasting helps us see clearly His plan and His work. It clears the murk. I grew up in Oregon, and my cousins and I, all through our childhood, used to collect agates. And if you go to Oregon, there's agates everywhere, and they're just the most beautiful rocks that have all this color, and sometimes there's like, you can see through them a little bit, but they're just these beautiful rocks. And I remember when I would go down to the river, because the water was so clear, because of that purification that's happening, I would see these agates and just collect them and put them in my pocket as a kid, you know. And my son, Caden, was like that growing up. I still find rocks in his room, even though he's off at college. In the most random places, he used to collect these rocks. But that fasting helps bring this kind of clarity so that we can actually focus and see the beauty that God has actually placed in us, his purpose, his calling, his goodness. I think when I think of this clarity and how fasting brings this focus for us in my life, it's this sense of like choosing to stand myself down. Somebody said that to me once. When you choose to fast, you're basically telling your body, you're not the boss of me. Your desires, your cravings, those things that literally pull us in the other direction from God, when we fast, we're literally standing ourselves down, like almost in a military way, and saying, flesh, you're not going to control me. God is my source. He is my bread of life. And so lastly, focus brings fruitfulness. So fire brings purification. Purification brings clarity. Clarity brings focus, and ultimately, focus brings fruitfulness. As we begin to focus, we begin to see more clearly the open doors that God has, that he wants to prune so that the water of his Spirit can begin to flow full. When we first got married, Rob and I lived in this old house downtown. And it was this beautiful old home, but it had a ton of work that was needed. And so we started getting busy. We love renovation, as you've probably heard. So we started doing this renovation process in our house. And we started with paint, and then we worked on the kitchen. And so we were very occupied in the house for multiple years. And it wasn't until maybe about the third year that we lived in this house that I literally began to notice this rose bush that just would grow up and alongside this beautiful peony every year at the front of our house. And I was so occupied on the inside of the house that I didn't notice this gorgeous rose bush. But after 3 years of living there, flowers were on it, but it didn't look very good. How many gardeners are in the room right now? Just curious. Okay, I love you. I want to become a gardener. I so envy Daniel Brown when he talks about his process, and I see his garden at his house. If you ever get the opportunity to go there, it's just stunning. Just the lettuce alone, I'm like, oh my gosh, these gigantic, beautiful types of like bulbs of lettuce that are almost as tall as me. So anyway, as I started to look at this rose bush, I'm like, maybe I should do something with this. It looks kind of gangly. There were like old branches on it. Like I almost took it out because my personality sometimes like, oh, let's just clear it and start over. And I just felt this like whisper from the Lord to look at like, what would it be like to actually prune this? I'd never pruned something in my life before. So I had to get online, read about it. What do I do? Where do I prune it? And so I started cutting away. And at first it was like, oh, I'll just try this and, you know, I'll cut this little bit off. I was afraid to cut it because I'm like, I don't want to. It kept telling me, cut the branches that are growing out of the main stem that might even have a flower on them if they're full of dead attachments. Cut those off. And it shows you how and where to do that. But I was so afraid. And so at first, I would just barely cut one. And, you know, the first time you ever do it, you're like, oh, you feel so, like, worried, you know? And so I cut the first one. And then as I read more, it just kept encouraging me, you really have to prune it down to the place where it's cut off all the dead and all the extra things that has basically kept the water from being able to reach the branches so that fruit can be born and these gorgeous flowers. So the first year I cut it, and then, of course, the next year, it looked terrible. It looked like I've killed this thing. It's gone. It's dead. And then, of course, a year later in the spring, as it starts to, the snow melts in Colorado, and you just start to see that little bit of life of spring, I started to see these gorgeous flowers. And over time, they began to blossom and it became the most beautiful bush that I actually was like, oh, I feel proud of that. It's really beautiful. In John 12, verse 24, Jesus says, Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it. I don't know about you, but when I fast, I become very aware of how much I love food. I love my life. I want to hold on to it. But it says, if anyone who loves their life will lose it, then anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And I've wondered about that verse. What does it mean to actually hate your life? Does it mean like you hate yourself? I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about. I think it's the attachments that we have to our lives, the things on the outside that we hold on so tightly that we're so afraid to let go of or unwilling, if we're more honest. John 15:1, and we're going to end with this. John 15:1 says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch on me that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. I just want to invite Kason and the band up here. Whether you've participated in the fast or not this season, I believe, as even we are praying this morning, that the Holy Spirit is shining on areas of our lives that he wants to just prune. And fasting is not just an invitation into a one-time event that we check the box for January and then wait for it to roll again, round again the next year. Fasting is an invitation to a lifestyle that says, God, I am going to keep this practice in my life so that those attachments to the world don't stay active in me where they become the main thing. Because the beauty of his invitation is not that fasting or the things that he invites us to become a law or something that we do to be a good person, to restrict us, to tell us right or wrong or what to do. It's about freedom that Jesus invites us to. And when we allow this process of purification to take place, I believe that through this, the Holy Spirit begins to highlight things, those rocks, those agates, those pieces of gold that are in the rock beds of our lives. Because when we choose to say, Jesus, I'm going to let you prune back this thing, this attachment that I'm holding onto that I've been unwilling to trust you with or to let go of, that it actually is allowing, if I'm willing to do that, to cut off that branch so that the water of your Spirit can flow into me with great access. Are you hungry for that alignment for God to say, to be able to bring you to that place of alignment that you can be all that Jesus has called you to be? So Kason's going to just sing a song, and we're just going to start in a posture of reflection. And so if you've been fasting in this season and you're beginning, or even just in this room right now, you know the thing that God has been highlighting for you, that attachment, that dead branch, that thing that you keep turning to, that you keep trying to trust in, that you keep trying to find fulfillment in, and it's not bringing you life. And he's been highlighting, he's bringing that sense of clarity. He's bringing that sense of focus. I just want to invite you to receive. To receive his good pleasure, his kindness that would actually allow you to see it. And so as we begin to sit in this posture for a moment, I just want you to just first reflect, God, what's the thing that you're inviting me to let you cut off in my life? That this would begin the beginning of a lifestyle of being attached to the vine. And then we're just going to pray at the end, and we're going to just surrender this time to God. I could just invite you to stand together. I just want to pray a prayer over you. We're just going to invite you to a moment of surrender, whatever that would look like. Maybe you want to kneel down. I just am going to start by saying that what I'm surrendering to God is my desire and need to control. It's been a constant thing in my life that I believe that God is wanting to say for me to surrender that and to keep engaging this process of fasting, because some things are not broken just by saying, I'm going to try harder. I'm going to just work it. I'm going to muscle it. And so I'm just going to pray for you. Jesus, we just welcome you in this place. God, we just thank you for the work that you're doing in each one of our lives. And God, I just remember, God, your word that says, come to me. All you who are weary and are heavy laden, for I will give you rest. Why spend money on bread that does not satisfy? Come to me and enjoy the riches of fare. And that is your invitation to us this morning, Jesus, that we would begin to trust you, to trust, God, that you are the bread of life. You are the thing. You are the best thing, God, that our souls need, Lord Jesus. And so, God, right now, we just surrender to you this place in the name of Jesus. So if we just sing this together, I just want to invite you, maybe you just need to turn to someone next to you and say, this is my surrender. Would you pray for me? Maybe you want to kneel down. Whatever for you is just this place of letting go and inviting this purification. Thank you, Jesus.